which is Steve Yang versus William Pollard, appeal number 06-1284. Mr. Cook.
Good morning, Your Honors. Mr. O'Brien, may it please the court, I'm David Cook and I represent Steve Yang, the appellant. The issue here is, was the decision of the Wisconsin Court of Appeals an unreasonable application of the Strickland test for ineffective assistance of counsel? There was really only one contested factual issue in this case, and that is, did Steve Yang shoot his gun in self-defense? Or to put it a bit differently, did Paul Vang have a gun, and did he attempt to pull it out before Mr. Yang started shooting? That was the contested issue, and the case was essentially a credibility battle between Paul Vang and Steve Yang. Who is the jury going to believe? The jury determination of that fact depended on their assessment of credibility, both of Paul Vang and Steve Yang, and the errors of counsel in this case go directly to the jury's ability to accurately assess that credibility.
If the jury acquitted him on self-defense grounds for shooting at the driver, didn't they implicitly disbelieve the driver's testimony that he didn't have a gun?
Well, you would think so, but then they also found him guilty as to the other counts.
Of the passenger.
Yes, and so there seems to be an inconsistency in the verdicts, because logically you would expect that if the jury believed that Paul Vang had a gun and that he was pulling it out and that Steve Yang fired his gun in response to that, they would also find self-defense with respect to the charge as to the passenger in that car, because it was a single act.
I agree with you, but having an inconsistent verdict doesn't really speak to the issue of ineffective assistance of counsel.
No, what it does is it goes to the reasonableness of the Court of Appeals decision in finding that there was no prejudice against Mr. Yang by counsel's failure to call this independent eyewitness who would have corroborated Mr. Yang's account.
Was there ever an affidavit filed by this? Was an affidavit ever produced indicating what this witness would have said?
The substance of the witness's testimony was included in the averments in the post-conviction motion, which in Wisconsin practice is adequate for presenting. You don't have to use an affidavit along with your post-conviction motion in Wisconsin practice. You can include your averments in the motion, and they were included. The substance of that testimony, and that's repeated in the paragraphs of the petition for this the writ.
And the witness would have said what?
Tu Zhang, who was the driver of Mr. Yang's car, would have said that consistently with Steve Yang that Paul Vang pulled up in this other car right next to him, that he began yelling over at the other car, asking about their gang affiliation, what gang do you belong to. Crude language was used. It was yelling, shouting, all of which Paul denied. And then finally, he reached into his shirt and began to pull out a gun. And at that point, Steve Yang reached down into the area between the two seats and pulled out a gun and began firing.
Was an affidavit filed with respect to the 2254 petition for this same witness?
No, there was no affidavit with the 2254 petition. The averments as to what Tu Zhang would have testified to were included in the petition.
It was in the original.
That's correct.
Okay.
Both of the failures of counsel went directly then to this credibility battle. The failure to call the eyewitness who would have corroborated Steve Yang's story obviously would have increased the credibility of Steve Yang, because his testimony alone, standing alone, is self-serving. The jury did believe him as to Paul Vang, but the fact that they found him guilty on the other two counts indicates, at least to me, that they were somewhat unsure of his credibility, somewhat unsure of Paul Vang's credibility, so they split the verdict, acquitted him on count one, and found him guilty on the other two counts. The other error of counsel, which is the failure to impeach Paul Vang with the evidence of his pending criminal conviction, went directly to the credibility of Paul Vang. And again, it would have had the same effect on the jury's ability to accurately assess this credibility battle. It was a very close case.
But you would agree that if the jury thought that Yang did not have a gun, the driver of the other car, did not have a gun, it would have been logical for the jury to convict him on everything.
Yes.
And because they didn't, isn't it also the flip side of that logical to assume that the jury believed he did have a gun?
Yes.
And if he did have a gun, all your problem here is with an inconsistent verdict, not ineffective assistance of counsel, it seems to me.
Well, the inconsistency in the verdict goes to the prejudice that accrued to Mr. Yang as a result of this. Because
inconsistent verdicts all the time.
The jury
decides to give you a pass on one and convict you on another one.
Right, but if the jury had been, why was there an inconsistent verdict? If the jury had been absolutely convinced of the truth of Steve Yang's statement that Pao Vang pulled out a gun and did fire his weapon in self-defense, logically and consistently, they would have acquitted him on all the charges. And that's the problem in this case, and that's why there's prejudice against Mr. Yang from these failures of counsel. Because if counsel had done his investigation, had brought in an independent eyewitness to corroborate Steve Yang's testimony, if he had impeached Pao Vang, the likelihood of an inconsistent verdict would decrease significantly. There's a reasonable probability here that the outcome would be different if these errors of counsel had not been present, and that really is what the test is under Strickland.
Did you present an affidavit from this witness?
Excuse me?
Did you present an affidavit from this witness?
No. The averments as to what the witness would testify to were at the state court proceedings were presented by motion in the post-conviction motion, and
But no affidavit from him.
No, there was, and under Wisconsin practice, an affidavit is not necessary to accompany the post-conviction pleading. The actual testimony of the proposed witnesses.
The burden is on you to convince the court, isn't it?
So yes, it is. Yes, it is. And
wouldn't
under
an affidavit
the
have been more helpful in your motion?
Well, I don't think it necessarily would have. The Wisconsin Supreme Court. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has said the important thing is not the formality of whether you attach affidavits or include the allegations in your motion. The important thing is that you include enough in your motion so that.
In other words, you're saying that it's the word of the attorney is more beneficial than an affidavit from the alleged witness who would testify thus and so.
I'm not necessarily more beneficial, but the
more
allegations,
convincing.
The averments in the motion need to be sufficient for the court to assess whether or not to grant an evidentiary hearing. And then at the evidentiary hearing, the witness would be called to testify and establish whether or not the averments are true in the eyes of the judge.
Getting back to the cross-examination of Vang, he was vigorously cross-examined on everything but this pending charge, correct?
Yes, he certainly wasn't vigorously cross-examined on that issue.
I said on that issue,
yes,
but he was cross-examined.
He was cross-examined, that's correct.
On a number of matters, and including the fact that he tried to eat the photograph. Was that included?
That I don't believe he was allowed to get into. That my recollection is he was not allowed to get into that kind of testimony with respect to the photograph. But I'm not completely sure on that point. But he was not allowed to. The fact of his pending criminal charge was not brought before the jury at all. In fact, the jury was somewhat misled by that because he originally testified that he had a criminal conviction. And the clarifying instruction that came up then said that he had no criminal record when, in fact, he was due to plead guilty in the week following this trial.
Mr. O'Brien?
May it please the court, Mr. Cook. Steve Yang's entire case before this court rests on the proposition, rather the speculation, that there were inconsistent verdicts in this case. First of all, that is neither here nor there with respect to whether counsel performed efficiently and whether there was prejudice. I will just simply state that it is not unreasonable, it is not inconsistent for a jury to say that, yes, we believe Steve Yang was threatened by Pao Vang and had the right to threaten and perhaps even shoot at Pao Vang in self-defense. However, he did not have the right to empty his gun and, by Yang's own admission, fire up to 6 shots at the car, including one into the rear quarter panel and one into the trunk as it fled, unnecessarily endangering the safety of the other 2 passengers in the car. With respect to deficient performance, counsel did cross-examine Pao Vang extensively about the destruction of evidence issue. So even though he did not get into evidence, the fact that he had a pending guilty plea to an obstruction of justice charge, he did one better. He actually got into evidence Steve Yang's admission, or I mean Pao Vang's admission, that he did try to destroy evidence by eating a photograph, which was the basis for the obstruction of justice charge.
So there was cross-examination.
There was. I believe it's at, my recollection is it's at pages 115 through 18 of Pao Vang's cross-examination. I think that's in document 43, if I recall correctly, transcript 43.
So the jury didn't know necessarily that he was charged with that.
They didn't know he was charged.
But the underlying facts that supported
the underlying
that
facts.
Ultimate guilty plea did come before the jury for purposes of them judging credibility.
Well, Pao Vang admitted that he tried to eat this photograph of a man holding a gun. Now, Pao Vang denied that the photo was of himself, but he's still admitting to trying to destroy evidence that the police are trying to get a hold of. And, moreover, under Wisconsin law, counsel couldn't go any further. He couldn't impeach Pao Vang with the collateral matter that the photo was of himself rather than of someone else. That's black-letter law in Wisconsin, and there would have been no basis to go any further. In fact, counsel did ask, wasn't that a photo of yourself? And he said, no, it wasn't. But counsel had to live with that answer under Wisconsin law. With respect to the calling of Tao Zong, I would submit that Tao Zong was really a better witness for the state than he would have been for the defense. Tao Zong gave a statement to police that was disclosed to defense counsel during discovery. That statement contradicts Steve Yang's testimony on 3 crucial points. Point 1, whose gun was it? Tao Zong, in his statement to police, denied that it was his own gun, claimed it was Steve Yang's gun, and had no idea where Steve Yang had the gun until he started firing. Where did Tao Zong get the gun? Steve Yang gave a statement to police and then testified at trial that Tao Zong got the gun at the party from a man named Psycho or something like that, and then tried to give the gun to Steve Yang while they were in the car. Now, apparently, according to the proffer in the post-conviction motion, Tao Zong would say, oh, that was my gun. I owned it in Wausau and brought it with me. So Tao Zong is undercutting not only his own testimony, if he were to call, but is undercutting Steve Yang's own testimony. Finally, with respect to the shooting itself, Steve Yang said he saw Pao Vang pull a gun, and he started firing. Tao Zong testified, and Tao Zong was closer because he was the driver. Tao Zong's statement in his post-conviction proffer was simply that he saw Pao Vang reach into his jacket and thought that he might be reaching for a gun. He didn't see the same gun that Steve Yang, who's sitting further away from him, claimed to have seen and that no one else saw. So had Tao Zong been called to the stand, he would have undercut Steve Yang's testimony on that crucial point, might have undercut his credibility on everything, and might have resulted in a conviction on all of the charges rather than just the 2 out of the 3. So, but this court need not even reach the issue of deficient performance because, as in the recent state of the recent case in the Taylor v. Bradley decision, this court can easily decide this case just on the conclusion that Steve Yang failed to prove prejudice, whether or not there was deficient performance, because we did not have inconsistent verdicts here. He was acquitted of the charge involving the endangering safety of Pao Vang, because the jury believed he had the right to exercise self-defense to some extent, but not to the extent that he went and emptied his gun into the car, unnecessarily endangering the safety of its other occupants. So unless there are any questions, I'll conclude my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Bryant. Mr. Cook, we used a lot of your time after your white light went on, so we'll give you another minute if you have anything to add.
Just briefly to clarify the extent of the cross-examination of Pao Vang on the what resulted in the obstructing charge. He was asked, do you own a gun? Excuse me, do you own a gun? No. Do you have a picture of yourself with a gun? No. Didn't have a picture of yourself with a gun? No. Did you eat the picture? Yes. That was the extent of it. There was nothing at all that would tie that into any possible criminal charge, obstructing charge. It was simply a line of cross-examination that was unconnected to anything else. So certainly you can't, I don't think, conclude that there was any kind of cross-examination on that point that would have alerted the jury that, and those answers were not truthful. And I do believe that Wisconsin law does allow you to bring in extrinsic evidence not to show the character and that kind of thing, but certainly to show that a witness has a motive to testify falsely. And so under Wisconsin law, there should have been cross-examination further on this point, and it could have been brought out that, in fact, he was not telling the truth when he denied being the person that was in the picture. I don't think that Tu Zhang's police statement was contradictory at all to what his proposed testimony would have been. He did not say that the gun belonged to Steve Yang. He said that Steve Yang had the gun, but he didn't say at what point he had it. He picked it up in the car and began firing it, but he didn't say that the gun belonged to Steve Yang. And finally...
But you don't disagree that...
He didn't say that it belonged to him.
No, he didn't. He didn't say, but he could have explained had he been called... had he been allowed to be called at the post-conviction hearing, that the reason he gave a statement not acknowledging that he brought the gun was because he was on probation at the time. And I think the jury would have understood that he didn't want to implicate himself in a way that would have undercut his probation supervision. I think the jury can understand that he wouldn't give a statement to the police that was completely forthcoming. Thank you.
You have a question, Nate?
Well, but you don't disagree with counsel in terms of how he characterized that statement and how those 3 points that he made earlier could have hurt your client.
Yeah, yes, I do disagree.
It could be, but what I'm saying is that's highly contested whether that statement would have been helpful or not have been helpful. So when you look at defense counsel's judgment as to whether or not he should have pulled in that witness with a statement which would at best be ambiguous, you know, given how vigorously each of you are arguing, certainly we don't have a violation of Strickland, do we?
Well, counsel didn't really know what Tu Zhang was going to testify to. All he had was the statement. He didn't investigate. He didn't talk to Tu Zhang at all. If he had, he would have known that that Tu Zhang would have testified that he brought the gun, even though it wasn't his gun, that afterwards he took the gun and gave it to the owner of the gun, which was not Steve Yang, and he would have clarified why his statement to the police wasn't completely forthcoming, and that's because he was on probation at the time and was afraid of getting himself in trouble. So I think if counsel had done what he should have done under Strickland, investigate this eyewitness, he would have come to the only really reasonable conclusion is that you have to call this person to corroborate Steve Yang's self-defense claim. Otherwise, you just have Steve Yang testifying.
Okay, thank you. This case will be taken under advisement.